Michael Cohen says, yeah, I paid her, and then I needed money back. Is the prosecution doing enough, and what's the defense's plan? George Denis, a criminal defense attorney at Butts Along, and good to have him back. George, good to have you.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right, what have you heard from Michael Cohen thus far? Do you think the prosecution has done enough on their end?
So, look, I mean, this is going to come down to a lot of what's his credibility and is he going to be believed? You know, pardon this reference, but maybe a lot of your listeners have seen Hamilton. Michael Cohen was in the room where it happened, or at least he said he was, and he was in a room with former President Trump and Michael Weisselberg, who's the former CFO, and that's where this plot was hatched, and that's where the scheme was orchestrated and discussed, and then it was carried out afterwards. So that's direct evidence in the form of testimony that says Mr. Trump was in the room, and this is what was discussed, and this is the genesis of the alleged crime.
Well, he's probably Aaron Burr then, too, because he wants to be in the room where it happened. This is somebody that wanted to continue his relationship with Donald Trump all the way to the White House. So the defense is going to say not only is this guy literally unbelievable because he's lied and spent time behind bars for lying, but that he's got some sort of axe to grind, too, because he wasn't taken as a serious candidate for, as he said, chief of staff.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's a funny retort with Aaron Burr. But anyway, yeah, look, I mean, Michael Cohen is a convicted felon. Michael Cohen lied under oath in multiple venues, including in front of Congress. So if you can lie once or twice or three times, what's to say you're not lying here in this proceeding, even though you took an oath? And that's what the defense will be harping on. What Michael Cohen said and what the prosecution will come back with is that he lied for Donald Trump. The reason why he did it was to ingratiate himself. It was because he was enamored with the former president. It's because he wanted to be on his good side, and now he feels like, you know, the back was turned on him. And so, you know, is he being vindictive or is he being truthful? And then the other piece of this is, and you've seen some of it in the cross-examination that's come through already, he stands to profit. He is talking about this on multiple airwaves and in writing. And, you know, I'm sure Michael Cohen will probably write a book someday and seek to earn some money as a result
He was on live streaming on TikTok asking people for donations while talking about this case.
Right. And after the prosecution team asked him not to do that.
Right. So I think there's a lot of problematic areas for Michael Cohen. I mean, I guess from a defense perspective, can they just beat Michael Cohen into oblivion in an effort to make sure that the jury looks at him and they say he's just an unbelievable person? We cannot believe or take at face value anything he says.
Yeah, and so this is just the start of cross-examination. I mean, I have no idea how much they've got lined up for him, but I don't imagine they're going to let him off the stand anytime soon. They're going to do exactly what you just said, try to draw him out. I mean, you saw the questions that the defense lawyer started with, you know, basically making disparaging remarks about the lawyer. That all got stricken, but it was meant to put Michael Cohen on guard right out of the gates, and he kind of gets an idea of what he's in for. But yes, look, I mean, I heard a lot of pontificating about how they might try to squeeze Michael Cohen in the middle of the witnesses. They saved him for last. He's the prosecution's last witness. He's the star witness. They take him as he comes. He gives them the evidence that they need. But the question is, with all the baggage he has, will this jury believe him?
All right. So if you're defending Donald Trump, I want to put you in that room. If you're defending Donald Trump, based on what you've seen thus far as a defense team, do you feel like you're in a good spot?
Well, a good spot. I mean, look, there's plenty of testimony that has and documentary evidence that can form the basis for the allegations and the charges that have been levied. So do I feel like I'm in a good spot? You know, look, I think they feel like they've made some headway. They've done good job on cross-examination. I think what happens with the cross-examination, the remaining cross-examination of Michael Cohen, is extraordinarily important. And then the question will become, my understanding is the prosecution is going to rest after this witness. So what will the defense case be, if any? Because the defense has no obligation to present any evidence whatsoever, but they're certainly authorized and able to do so.
Do you think Donald Trump takes the stand here, based on what you've seen thus far?
Boy, that is the $64,000 question, huh? Look, I come from a school of thought of you don't typically put a criminal defendant on the stand. You make your points through cross-examination. I'll tell you, there's nothing more powerful than saying, I don't have a defense case because the prosecution didn't prove their case. But sometimes you need to, and, you know, I mean, you have a very strong-willed client here who may feel like he needs to testify, who may feels like he may want to testify. He made, as I understand it, my recollection is some statements in the public domain that he would be testifying. He did not do that in connection with this case. So whether the jurors heard that, saw that, I don't know. They shouldn't consider that. They should only consider what was stated in open court. And I know he did not, or his lawyer did not promise that in the court case.
Yeah, and I think that's the question that most people have is, will the jury in such a high profile case, with all of the external noise and everything that has been said leading up to this trial, can they look at the evidence that's presented to them and then make a decision based on that evidence? And I guess from a defense perspective, how do you view that in such a high profile case?
Yeah, look, you have to hope that that's what they do, because that's what they'll be instructed to do. That's what they're legally required to do. And they took an oath to do exactly that. They should not be bringing extraneous information in from outside of the courtroom into the jury deliberation room. But you're right. Will it happen? May it happen? You know, it's human nature. You know, I mean, there's instructions for them not to be paying attention. It's outside of the courtroom, but you know, it's so omnipresent. How can you avoid it? And
sure.
So, you know, I hope they focus on the evidence, though, which is their obligation.
George Thedini, great stuff as always. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep, you got it.